everyone on earth, God gives a burden. It's to be carried down the road that lies somewhere between the cross and the crown. No lot is wholly free. He giveth one to thee, but lest it press too heavily and long, he says, cast it on me, and it will easy be. Friends, we're here today. Some may be Christians and some not, but I think our purpose is the same. That's to help one another in this time of hurt. The poet said that friends and family in a time like this is like a sheltering tree, and I think today that's what we need to be with each other and for each other, a sheltering tree that protects us from the hot sun of grief, from the cold winter of pain, and from the high winds of sorrow. And the reason is that we might know of love and forgiveness, of grace and mercy. We're reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus when he said this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read these words. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you are a merciful God, a loving God. You are the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for understanding. Thank you for interceding. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you provided hope in a world of despair. And you've given us a reason today to know that there's life beyond the grave. It's not over here. There's another world. Lord, today I ask that you would minister especially to those who are hurting at this time, those who have known Betty and loved her and appreciated her and now will miss her, miss her place at the table, miss her voice. She won't be here now, and because of that, Father, there's a real void, an emptiness, and Lord, only you can fill that void. And we ask today that you would, as the great God of heaven, move in our hearts and comfort us through our Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we ask. Amen. Bruno Barbin is going to come and give a eulogy right now, and then after that, Alex Givens is going to do some special music.
Hi, everyone. My name is Bruno Barbin, and I'm honored to have been asked to talk a little bit about our dear Betty. My wife Marilyn and I have been part of Bethel Bible Chapel for almost 40 years now, and we've known Betty for a long time. However, in the last 15 years or so, we really got to know her well as she joined our home Bible study group, and we became really good friends. It was through that friendship that the dynamic duo of Big B and Little B became our nicknames, and everybody kind of chuckled at that, and she just got a real kick out of it. She just loved it. Everyone who ever met Betty or Betty Lou or Little B saw almost immediately how sweet and pleasant, cheerful, and kind she was. However, we got to know Betty really well through that home study group and through several meals and events that we had with her. And it didn't take long for us to figure out that purple was her favorite color. If you ask her sister Maria, she'd tell you that Betty would love anything as long as you gave her, as long as it was purple. And she really enjoyed watching police dramas on TV, especially NCIS. And she liked that we both liked NCIS and that we used to watch Magnum PI when it was on. It doesn't take long once you got to know Betty to realize what a brave and strong person she was. Betty was born with Noonan syndrome. Noonan syndrome is a condition that affects many areas of the body. It's characterized by short stature, heart defects, bleeding problems, varying levels of skeletal malformations, as well as other signs and symptoms. And Betty was able to live a good life with even with that. From what we knew and saw of Betty, she never let any of that get the best of her. And from what we've been told from people who knew her when she was younger, especially during her high school days, she never missed a beat. She was always accepting of the life that she was given. She told me that once that growing up in a close-knit and loving family really helped her to cope with her problems. She was so close to her sister and to George. She told me that growing that she loved being part of our church family here, and that she was so thankful for so many people. She never said anything bad about anyone. She's just always was so open and friendly and kind. The other day I was picking up prescriptions at my pharmacy or apothecarium, I guess it's called, and my friend Alistair was there. And Alistair's a special guy, even to Betty, because his sister, Alina, was one of Betty's best friends. Alistair always calls her Betty Lou, and he talks about her to me every time I go in to see him. And so we were reminiscing a bit. He told me some stories as to he remembered about his sister and Betty Lou and their time at school. He said that little B and her friends were very, very popular at school. She had a lot of friends, and they were well-liked by everyone. She went to Mount St. Joseph College, and Alistair remembered how his sister and Betty had so many good times there and said that they were very good students. She won some awards, and she would often stay after class to help with the nuns with whatever needed to be done. And that's the Betty I remember. He told me a story about how Betty went to Hawaii with her parents in around the mid-80s, and Alistair was Elena's younger brother, and Betty was always very nice to him, and she paid attention to him. And he said that, like most young boys, he loved cars and boats and airplanes and such, and he also liked watching Magnum PI when he was little. And apparently Betty was able to get a picture of this helicopter that they have on Magnum PI and the show. And if you remember, there was a big black guy named TC who used to drive this helicopter, and his chopper's name was the Island Hopper. And Betty made sure that she got a picture of it, and she got doubles made when she came back, and she brought the picture to Alistair because he knew he'd really like that. And he said to me, you know, he said, I kept that picture for 30 years. He says, just finally, when we last moved out of the house, he says, we lost track of it, and it's gone now. He remembers, you know, that older sisters usually aren't very nice to the younger brothers. But he said Betty Lou was not like that. Betty Lou and her friend Elena went on to graduate from Mountain, went on to go to university at Lake Superior State University. And I wasn't surprised to find out that she earned her degree with a double major in journalism and political science, because sweet Betty was a very smart girl. She was bright, and she loved to challenge. She liked our Bible study because she wanted to go get really deep into the scriptures, and she wanted to learn all that she could. And quite often, she'd go off and do her own research and bring back some interesting questions and things to share, some information to share with the rest of us, and she was no slouch at that. She especially enjoyed studying in the Old Testament. She liked the religious traditions and practices of the Jewish people, and she wanted to understand them better because God had really drawn her to Jews for Christ mission and to other missions like that that she supported, and she supported them faithfully, and she prayed for them faithfully. Maria told me that she found at least 10 Bibles in her apartment, and that doesn't surprise me either, as well as tons of other books and magazines. She sure enjoyed reading. Little B once shared with me that her biggest regret was that she was never able to have a job or a career because of her health problems. However, she never made a complaint about that. That was never a complaint. That was just something that she felt close enough to tell me. She let us see a little bit of what she was made of. Betty was always thankful to God for the life that he gave her, and she was grateful for her family and friends. She knew that God had another purpose for her and accepted that without any grumbling or complaining. Betty Lou might have been small in stature, but she was big in life, and her faith in God defined who she was. In many ways, Betty Lou Marinelli was my unseen hero. Betty played a vital role in the ministry here at Bethel. She always supported and encouraged our leaders and played a key role in her prayer and all the work that she did, even though she was sometimes overlooked. But she never became discouraged. Leaders may be the ones to get the glory and are lauded by others, but quiet, faithful witnesses like Betty serve her God in many ways that are not overlooked by him. God saw what a wonderful lady Betty was. She prayed for her friends and family. She worked in the kitchen. She moved chairs around. And she reached out with words of encouragement and support to others when they needed it. She was thankful to God for the way she was created, just the way she was, and she was gifted in such a unique way. I loved it when she used to give us hugs. She was a great hugger. And God used Betty in many ways, and although she may have been an unseen hero to some of us, she knew that she was always seen by God. She had that confidence in him. It was obvious in the way she lived her life, the way she talked, the things that she did. Betty was so faithful to her sister, Maria, and Maria was so good to Betty. Don't kick yourself, Maria. You did a great job. All those years going down to Toronto with her to see her doctors. Maria never complained. Betty never complained. She loved their time with her sister. She never complained about the pains she had to put up with because of her condition. Maria told me that last fall, they went to see a specialist for her eyes. Yeah, Betty had developed glaucoma. And when the doctor was looking at her eyes, he was just astounded. He counted the 71 pounds of pressure in her eye. In a normal eye, there should only be about 18 pounds. Can you imagine the courage of that little girl? She was a strong, strong person. And she was special to God. She never wavered in her faith, and God showed her grace in those difficult times and in many practical ways. And Betty was always thankful. As most of us know, Betty had a valve replaced in her heart through major surgery over 25 years ago. She knew that valve wasn't meant to last this long. And she knew that it would be a very serious and difficult surgery to replace it again. Her doctors didn't give Betty much encouragement of success with such a difficult procedure due to her failing physical condition. In this past year, Betty had opportunity to tell Maria that she had made up her mind that she did not want to undergo another major open heart surgery to replace that faulty valve. She knew that God was with her on this decision, and she never complained. She told Maria that God had given her 25 wonderful years with that heart valve, and that she was happy and thankful for all the things she had done and the people she had loved. And today, Betty is curled up in the loving arms of her Savior, completely at peace. God has wiped away every tear from her eyes, and death shall be no more for Betty. Neither shall be any mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. And he's made Betty new. She has a new body. She is now just as God has always seen her, tall, strong, and beautiful. That's how she would want us to remember. I remember how many times I used to tell her how much I appreciated her, and she says, "Yeah, and I'm cute too." And that's how I'm going to remember our sweet little Betty Lou, our little bee, and my hero. Thank you.
Alex. What a truth. Thank you, Alex. Well, like many of you, I've been to a lot of funerals. And, you know, I'm not sure that even today I understand. I'm not sure. And, you know, life and death are just mysteries, really. But I'm hoping that today maybe we can say a few things that might bring some kind of understanding, just a little, to what it is we're dealing with today. And I'd like to address two questions. First of all, what is death? Even the Bible calls death an enemy. It says the last enemy is death. And I think that when we take that seriously, it's a frightening thing. It really is. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. And ever since Adam in the garden, ever since the sin of disobeying God, the Bible says death entered in. I was thinking about it, and you know, I thought, if Betty could talk to us today, do you know what she'd say? I think that her words would be, it's true. It's all true. It's not faith for Betty anymore. It's sight. And I think her words would be, take it seriously. You see, when death entered in, it entered in three ways. And when we talk about death, we think, well, you know, Betty passed away a week ago today down at Toronto General. She stepped into eternity. She's gone. Her body is going to return to earth from where God took it. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. Death has three aspects to it. It has a physical aspect, it has a spiritual aspect, and it has an eternal aspect. You see, we aren't human beings in a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings in a human experience. Physical death is when the body is separated from the soul and the spirit. And that's what happened to Betty a week ago today. She died physically. Her spirit, her soul, left her body. But even though that body was left here, the real Betty was gone. Physical death is separation of body and soul, or rather from the soul and spirit, body from the soul and spirit. But that day that Adam ate the fruit, when God told him not to, God said that the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Well, they ate that forbidden fruit, but they didn't die physically. In fact, the Bible says that their eyes were opened and Adam lived some 900 years after that. Well, what happened? What happened? Because it says, on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. You see, what happened was spiritual death took place, because before they sinned, Adam and Eve had perfect communion with God. They walked with him, they talked with him, and they were there in that beautiful garden that God had made for them. And God visited with them. But sin brought separation, because you see, God is a holy God, and no sin can ever enter into his presence. And when Adam and Eve sinned and they disobeyed God, they immediately died. Not physically, but spiritually. They separated from God spiritually. But you know what God did? You see, God loved us so much that he made a way for them to come back to him. In the garden, God provided a covering for them because they knew that they were naked. They knew it and they hid from God. And they were afraid of God because they had sinned. And so that was spiritual death. It was separation. Some 900 years later, Adam died again, or at least physically, and that's physical death. But the other aspect of death is eternal death. Do Do you know that if you die physically and if you're dead spiritually, you will die eternally? Death always means separation. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death always means separation. And again, if Betty could talk to us today, do you know what she'd say? She would say, we have to die because of sin. Sin in the world. She died because of sin. But don't be angry with me. I'm not talking about her sin. She died because of the sin in the world. You see, if there was no sin, we'd never need a doctor because there'd be no sickness. There'd be no disease. If there was no sin, we'd never need a policeman because there wouldn't be any crime. If there was no sin, we'd never need an undertaker because there'd be no death. You see, sin brings death because of one man, Adam's sin, death entered into the world. And do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that we have all sinned, every one of us, and therefore we're all going to die. And the Bible says that we need to be ready. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read these words in verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? But then in verse 57, we read these words. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me explain that this way. There was a little boy who was allergic to bees. He and his father one day in the summertime were out for a car ride, and they were driving down the road, and it was hot, and they were out in the country, and they decided they were going to put the windows down. And when they did, the little boy started to worry because he was so allergic to bee stings that if a bee came in, he could die. Well, sure enough, a bee came in the car, and he began to panic. He was frantic, and he was crying and jumping up and down. And just like that, the father reached out, and he grabbed that bee right out of the air, just like that. And when he did, he said to the son, it's okay. I have the bee. It's right here. In a few minutes, he opened his hand, and the bee was still alive, and he began to fly. And the little boy went into panic mode again, and he began to cry and to scream and just in a frantic way. But the father said, it's okay. It's okay. I have the stinger in my hand. He's not going to hurt you. He can't hurt you anymore. Folks, can I tell you today that there is a man in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has the marks on his body, nail-pierced hands and feet, a side pierced by a Roman spear. And those scars took the death of sin from us. It took the sting of death from us. The Lord Jesus died on a cross 2,000 years ago, and the Bible says, O death, where is your sting? I'll tell you what death did. Death tried its best on the Savior. Death stung the Lord Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for you and I, and he took the sinner's place. He bears the mark of your sin and my sin on his body. And he can say to you today, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of the grave. You don't have to be afraid of eternity because he has the marks on his body. He loves you so much, folks, that he came to take your place for eternity, to rescue you for eternity, to give you a new life, to give you eternal life. You know, for a Christian, death takes on an entirely different perspective. The Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So I wonder today, are you looking for that day? Are you fearing that day? Are you anxious for that day? one of these days, somebody's going to be preaching my funeral. One of these days, someone's going to be preaching your funeral. Will they be able to say that because you trusted in the Savior, just as we heard from Betty's eulogy today, will they be able to say that because you trusted in the Savior, that death has no sting? That the grave has no victory? Be a wonderful thing if that were so, wouldn't it? The Bible says that when a Christian dies, it's like sleep. Not soul sleep, because it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I can tell you that before anyone knew Betty had died, she had already stepped into the presence of her Savior. Immediate separation. Our body is left here, and our soul and spirit is with the Lord. And God says, it's precious in my sight. I love what the Apostle Paul said when he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, it's a whole lot better than anything we could ever have here. Physical death is one appointment every one of us are going to have to keep. You'll have to keep it. Betty had to keep it. I'll have to keep it. And when the pale rider comes to your house, will you be ready? I love the hymn that's on the back of the bulletin. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershadowed, sweetly my soul shall rest. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love the fact that you can take that word whosoever out of there and you can put your name. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Bill McLean believes in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice the invitation. He says, come. Notice the direction. He says, unto me. You know, as a preacher, I could never tell you to join the church. I could never tell you to just be good, or I could never tell you to do anything to get to heaven. But I can tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ said, come unto me. You and I are here, and the decisions that we make today, right now in this time, will determine our eternal destiny. Listen to the invitation. Come. Listen to the direction. Unto me. And the Lord Jesus said, all who labor and are heavy laden. You know, if we could work our way into heaven, then God made a huge mistake when he allowed Jesus to die for us. Sometimes we think, you know, God could never forgive me. I'm just too bad. You know, some of you know me, and you know that you haven't done anything that I probably haven't done twice. I know what the other side is all about, and I have done things, folks, that I am thoroughly ashamed of in my former life. But one day I took all of those sins and I took them to the cross, and by his amazing grace, he saved me. You know, there are no sins that are too big for God to forgive, just people too big to bring them to him. He says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you're here today and you're heavy laden, why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him? Why don't you just be honest with God? He hears your prayers. And this is what he says. I will give you rest. If you want rest, if you want love, if you want forgiveness, the Bible says you can have it. You know, it's free, but it's not cheap. It costs God everything that he could possibly pay. It robbed heaven of its most precious commodity, his son, and he sent him for you and I. So I close with these words. The Lord Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. 40 years ago, I opened my heart. And when I did, the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, stepped into time and stepped into my heart. And I wouldn't trade 1 minute of knowing him for the years that I had before that. You know, it isn't always easy, and I need to be straight up with you on that. But I can tell you, he will always be with you, and he will always, always show up when you need him. And he'll take you to heaven. And when he does, you can be with him. And you can see Betty as well. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Lord, for hope beyond hope. Hope beyond the grave. Hope, Father, that we have in Jesus Christ. The one who made it possible for anyone who trusts in him, who believes in him, to be in heaven with him. And Lord, I pray today that you would comfort us with your spirit, that you would envelop us with your love. And as we commend these dear people to you, Father, I pray that you would encourage us and minister to our needs. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'd like you all to stand now. We're gonna close the service in song. Jeff Cartwright is going to come and lead us in I'll Fly Away. And you cannot sing that song sitting down.
Why don't we stand? Betty is home with her Lord. That big smile is there in the presence of Jesus, and she is there with him. One day we'll be there too if we know Jesus as our Savior, and we will fly away, and we will be with her, we will be with our Lord in that celestial shore. Let's sing this together.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life is gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars have flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. By and by, let's sing the chorus again. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Thank you all for being here today. And you are welcome to join with the family in the fellowship hall for some refreshments. Please Take advantage of that.